This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness and in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters, although Adam lived a total of 930 years, and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. After he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 107 years and had other sons and daughters. Although Seth lived a total of 912 years, and then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became father of Kenan. After he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived a total of 905 years, and then he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he became father of Mahalalel. After he became father of Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Kenan lived a total of 910 years, and then he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became father of Jared. And after he became father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived a total of 895 years, and then he died. When Jared lived 162 years, he became father of Enoch. After he became father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became father of Lamech. After he became father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years. And had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived a total of 969 years, and then he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands, caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years. And had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived a total of 770 years, and then he died. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Well, let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, you have taught us that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so we pray now as we come to this passage in the Bible, which may be less familiar to some of us, to many of us, that I pray that you would give us attentive minds and malleable hearts. Please teach us and change us as we dwell on your word. Amen. Where do you look for comfort in a world that is painful and broken and short-lived? Where do you look for comfort on those nights when you lie awake in bed and you can't get to sleep, and that those worries of the world just sit between the nap of your neck and the muscle of your shoulders? Where do you look for comfort as the full joys and experiences of life turn sour to the mouth, rough to the touch, and distant to the ear? as you stand at an open grave, mourning the loss of one you've loved most. We've been going through Genesis since last week and continuing a series since last year. And we've seen that even from the beginning, the world has been in desperate need of comforts. We've seen a good world made by a good and loving Creator God, fractured and broken, as mankind, the jewel of creation, the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, turn their backs on their Creator and set themselves up as rulers in His place. They sinned, and this sin, the rebellion of mankind, has broken the world. As the good and loving Creator kept His word, pain and death came into the world, and humanity was cast away from God's presence out of the Garden of Eden into the harsh reality of a world under God's curse. And so from last week, we started to see the effects of that broken world as the first child born to Adam and Eve became the first murderer. Sin ruled. Cain killed his younger brother Abel. And we saw humanity have a dramatic free fall in the family tree of Cain that spiraled into the violent, malicious bragging of his descendants, Lamech. So where's comfort? Well, our comforts at the end of last week's passage arrived as Eve gave birth to another son, Seth. His name literally means compensation. So look back. If you just turn back to chapter 4, the very end of chapter 4 in verse 25. Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to another a son and named him Seth, saying, "God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him." Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. So there's a fresh start. There's a clean sheet, a redundancy package for those parents in mourning. Seth is born in place of Abel. And so as we come to today's passage, the question is, what is going to happen to this family line? What kind of fresh start are we looking at? And the first thing we see is we are still made in the image of God. We are still made in the image of God. Read with me from verse 1. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. This is Adam's family tree, Adam's genealogy. But isn't it curious that it doesn't start with Adam? It starts with God. We have a recap of what we were told right at the beginning in Genesis 1. God made male and female in his image. Out of all of creation, humanity, it is humanity who God treasures the most. And it is humanity that reflects most of God in all of creation. And we have a reminder of the blessing God gave to humanity as he made them. Just turn back with me to chapter 1, verse 28, and I'll read it to you. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." The job God gives his image bearers is to increase in number, to spread over the world, and to rule as God's representatives on earth. As an ambassador has been made to represent the king, so humanity has been made to represent God in the world. And so as we come to today's passage, with the repeat of what mankind was made to be, you might be forgiven for thinking this really is a fresh start, a new beginning, something new, set apart from the curse. that came through Adam, the murderousness that came through Cain in chapter 3 and 4. And as we go through this genealogy, there are things we could get excited about. So we see children. So look down in today's passage, verse 6. Seth became the father of Enosh, verse 7, and had other sons and daughters. Verse 9, Enosh became the father of Kenan, verse 10, and had other sons and daughters. Verse 12, Kenan became the father of Mahalalel, verse 13, and had other sons and daughters. So as we see the family tree of Adam starting with one man and one woman go through the generations, we start to see the spread and the multiplying promise that was promised first in Genesis 1. Mankind is still blessed to rule. And it might be easy to overlook that at a time where the world has reached a yield of over 7 billion people. But for the rule of mankind, there is strength in numbers. So is this where we're supposed to look for comfort? Is your comfort found in the idea that there'll be a people to continue after you've gone? Let me put it closer to home. Those of us who are parents, are you looking for comfort in the future of your children? Those of us who aren't parents, are you looking for comfort in the possibility of having children? But maybe it's not children. Maybe you're looking for comfort in living life to the full. Today's passage also shows us vitality. Have you written a bucket list? A list of things you would like to achieve or do or experience before you die. Maybe it's not as crude as that, but you have a set of things in the back of your mind you want to achieve in family life, in work life, in social life. And it would be a great comfort and assurance if you arrived at that point. Have you seen the Clinton cards for us as we start to knock on? Life starts at 30. Life starts at 50. Life starts at 80. We'll look down at the passage, verse 6. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. Verse 9. When Enosh lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. Verse 12, when Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. And look forward to verse 25, when Methuselah had lived 170 years, he became the father of Lamech. Every person in the genealogy is really quite old when they start to have children. The youngest someone in the line has their first child is around 65 or 70. This Clinton card would have an air of confidence to it. Life starts at 70. Well, if you want to start a family young. Life starts at 90. Goodness me, life starts at 187. No Zimmer frames for this lot. Most of them didn't settle down to family life before they were over 100. Is that what we should be aiming at? Is comfort found in a pot of moisturizer and superfoods? But it's not just vitality. We see old age. So there's that tradition, isn't there, where everyone who reaches to the ripe old age of 100 gets a birthday card for the Queen every year from then on in. Well, the gents in this genealogy would have had quite a stack of birthday cards mounting up. Adam lives to 930, Seth lives to 912, Enosh lives to 905, Kenan lives to 910, Mahalalel dies young at 895. Every saga holiday is well and truly booked up. These ages are just, they're just so far beyond our expectation of a full length of days. So just to put things in perspective, Adam was still alive until Noah's dad, Lamech,
was 56.
Imagine knowing your, and I need to use my fingers for this, great, 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 that's six, grandfather. Family gatherings would start to be quite crowded. Living almost 1,000 years, imagine that. Imagine if that was the case today. Don't read a book about King Henry VIII. Ask him yourself, he's only middle-aged. You want to know about the Norman Conquest? Well, easy. Ask the survivors. I wonder, do you look for comfort in the potential of long life? We as people are living much longer than 100 years ago. Do you find that you comfort yourself with the buffer of time yet to spend? It's that small voice that says, there's still 30 years in the tank. You don't need to worry about that yet. We're still made in the image of God. And there's so much about mankind in this family tree that just seems to ring of the hope of a new beginning. But don't be fooled. That's our second point. But we are still under God's curse. We are still under God's curse. And read with me from verse 3. When Adam had lived 130 years... he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. This is not the fresh beginning it looks like on the surface. Look at the parallel between verses 1 and 2 and verse 3. Made in his image, named by him. Adam was made in God's image, but Seth was made in Adam's image. Humanity is not just a reflection of God. We don't just represent God on earth. We represent the one who first turned his back on the creator of the world. All of us have the same fatal flaw. So like a terminal genetic disorder that's passed from father to son, from mother to daughter, so the curse will continue through the generations. In Adam, we have all of us turned our backs on God. And so there is long life here. But there's death. Look down. Verse 5, and then he died. Verse 8, and then he died. Verse 11, and then he died. Verse 14, and then he died. Don't be fooled by their age. Don't be fooled by the fact that we're used to people dying. It's not natural. It's not natural. Death is never natural. Death is the consequence of sin. Death is the consequence of a world that's turned their back on their creator. And the world is under God's curse. So if we look to be comforted by the time we have left, the problem is, even if our assessment is right, even if we have time left in the tank, it doesn't deal with the issue. It defers it. It's ignoring your unpaid bills until the bailiffs actually knock on the door. It's not a solution. Comforting yourself with another 30 years, and it sounds obvious, but can only last another 30 years. Some say life goes on. Well, no, not forever. Where there's life, there's hope. Well, the whole problem is there won't be life. People tend to stop sending inspirational cards once you're 6 feet under. We need a comforter better than that. We need that the comfort of time left doesn't deal with death. But neither does the comfort of life to the full. There's vitality, but there's pain. True comfort can never come from trying to live life to the full. A life chasing dreams merely becomes a reminder of how broken the world is. Every experience will be eclipsed by pain. Every joy whispers and sometimes shouts that it's not what it could have been. Do you recognize this? And look at what Lamech says in verse 29. And don't be put off by names. This is a different Lamech to the Lamech we saw last week in chapter 4. But there's a very, very similar problem. Verse 29, he talks about the painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. Do you hear how he's speaking? This is a man who's lived hundreds of years in the prime of life. How does he summarize existence? One word, pain. The curse of chapter 3 remains. These are the consequences of Adam's rebellion. And listen to God's curse in chapter 3, verse 17. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, dust you are, and dust you will return. Life is a fight to eat from the ground, and then the ground eats you. That was the case then, and it's still the case today. The world is under God's curse. You can't sidestep it. You can't make the best of it. We each of us have turned our backs on our Creator, the fountain of life and joy and goodness. True comfort can't be found in living life to the full. And neither can it be found in children. I mean, there are children, but nothing changes. The problem can't be filtered out through good upbringing, selective breeding. Comfort can't be found if your child gets into the right school, or if you make sure they mind their P's and Q's. Comfort won't be found if you make sure your children avoid the mistakes you made. The problem remains. And the problem didn't start with you. It goes further back. Lamech is the ninth generation from Adam. And he's quoting the curse from Genesis 3. Nothing has changed. If we have children, they will face the same problems we face now. Comfort will not come from our children. We are still under God's curse. And so, our third point, we need the promised comforter. We need the promised comforter. And let's read verse 28. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." Hang on, I hear you say. Didn't you just say comfort won't come through children? Lamech seems to be looking for quite a lot of comfort in his. His name, Noah, means comfort or rest. The point is, that's not what's going on here. Lamech's remembering the promise. Comfort won't come from children in general, but through one child and one family line. That's what Lamech is pointing to. It's the promise given throughout the whole of the Bible. And as we come to a passage like this, I just wanted to ask you, how do you feel? Do you feel excitement or boredom or something in between? A long list of names that are hard to pronounce and even harder to remember. It's not a story. It's not a poem. I'm not going to, but if I ask for a show of hands, I'm pretty sure that most of us who are Bible readers here have at least once or twice skipped over the genealogies in the Bible to get to the next bit of the story. I know that's the case for me. They can seem like an unnecessary padding. But I want us to get excited, not just about this genealogy, but as we read on, and we see them dotted throughout the Bible, I want us to see why they've been put there and who they're pointing to. The genealogies are exciting because they point to the promised comforter. And here is the promise when it's first given in Genesis 3, verse 14. So the Lord God said to the snake, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. The genealogies of the Bible are exciting because we're waiting for a promise. The promised offspring of Genesis 3 will be the one to crush the power of Satan. He will be the one who breaks the power of the curse and brings people back to God. As we go through the book, the list becomes shorter. As we go through the Bible, the list becomes shorter and the search narrows. So in Genesis, and this is so exciting, we see from the line of Noah, we get the line of Terah in chapter 11, verse 27. That's Abraham's father. Becomes the line of Isaac in chapter 25, verse 19. Becomes the line of Jacob in chapter 37, verse 2. Becomes the tribe of Judah in chapter 49, verse 10. And that's the question, which family will the comforter come from? When will he arrive? Well, turn with me in your Bibles to page 1029. And it's Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, son of Heli, son of Mathat, son of Levi, son of Melchi, son of Janai, son of Joseph, son of Matthias, son of Amos, son of Nahum, son of Asli, son of Nagi, the son of Matha, the son of Matthias, the son of Simeon, the son of Joshek, the son of Joda, the son of Joanna, the son of Risa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosem, the son of Elmadam, the son of Ur, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Jorim, the son of Mathat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Mela, the son of Mena, the son of Mattathath, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. He had no children. His life was cut short. The work of his hands was to have nails driven through them. He was broken by the curse. Everything the world says should be a comfort, he lacks. But through his brokenness, he brought true comfort to all who believe in him. By his wounds, we have been healed. Age will wither. full life amounts to pain. Our children won't change. But the future for all who trust in Christ will be the true comfort that on the last day, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There's only one comforter from the curse. Look to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we live in a time where the true comforter, Christ Jesus, has come. And so I pray that you would help us to examine our hearts today, that any false hope of comforts would be destroyed, and that all our hope would be placed on the Lord Jesus. Amen.